So when I was in college, you guys, I got involved in a campus ministry. It was my sophomore year, and I was new to following Jesus, and so I had a lot of questions. If I'm honest, I probably still have a lot of questions, but I had a lot of questions, and I was just trying to figure things out, right? And so I realized I might need to get around some other people to be able to ask my questions and to be able to learn a little bit more about what this whole Jesus Christianity thing was all about. And so I showed up to this campus ministry on campus in Athens, Georgia, at the University of Georgia. Cry, cry, tear, tear. We had a hard day. So, and so if you don't watch football, Georgia lost. So, But you know, I was there, and so I go to this this campus ministry on campus, and the people were nice, and the music was decent, and the messages, though, they were helpful. It was helping me to kind of figure things out and to work things out, and it was giving me some food for thought. And so I was learning about what it meant, and I found it to be helpful. So I kept showing up. And over time, I'm showing up quite a bit, and I eventually joined a small group. You know, there's always that week at church where they're like, all right, now you gotta get in the community, you know what I mean? And so I joined a small group, 10 to 12 people that get together in an apartment or a dorm or at a coffee shop and try to dig into some of those questions and grow in their faith. And so I joined this small group, and you guys, I'll be honest, I was like super nervous about going to small group. I'd never been in a small group before. I'm nervous about showing up at this, you know, person's apartment. I'm going to walk in. I don't know anybody in this group. I literally just signed up at random. And so I just got placed in a group. So I don't know anybody. Some of you know how that feels. You're like, you pull up and you're like, man, are they going to be weird? You know? And then you're also thinking, like, are they going to think I'm weird? You know, like, there's that awkward. And so you kind of sit in your car and you like give yourself a pep talk before you go in. As a matter of fact, like some of you, like you're here this morning for the first time. Like maybe you've come to church for the first time, or maybe it's the first time in a long time. And you're coming and you're checking it out, and maybe somebody invited you, or maybe you just were driving by and you're like, I should check out that place. I thought it was an Amazon facility, but I found out it was a church. And so maybe maybe that's it. You just kind of you showed up and you pulled in this big old parking lot and you sat in your car and you're like, should I go in? I don't know. Is it gonna be weird? Are they weird? Are they gonna think I'm weird? What am I doing? And then you walked in, though, and you're here today. And I'm so glad that you're here. But you know exactly what that feeling is like. You're walking into a new setting, you're not sure what it's gonna be like, and so I decided, though, I was gonna go in. And so I went into the small group, and I get there, and it was great. It was actually really all the stuff that I was afraid of. It wasn't like that. It wasn't super awkward or weird. As a matter of fact, I still remember the small group leader's name. It was a guy named Jeffrey Waters. And Jeffrey, he welcomed me in. Hey, I'm so glad that you're here. He had his little list, and he's like, look, you're on the list. Yay. So I didn't show up at the wrong one. And so I show up, and that first small group was kind of, easing your way in. And so he kind of shares his story about how he got there. And then we all share our stories, and then go team. And we left. And I was like, that wasn't so bad. Now the next week we came back, and instead of just kind of checking in, the week before it was kind of the icebreaker questions, like, what's your favorite movie? Like whatever. And this next one, though, we all kind of circle up in this living room, and Jeffrey says, hey, I'd love for everybody to just kind of share like how your week was. And then he says, and I'd also love to hear, how was your quiet time this week? And I was like, what? I had never heard of a quiet time. I didn't know what a quiet time was. In my house, in the Moore house growing up, quiet time was a punishment for when me and my brother were acting like hooligans. You know what I mean? My mom, I distinctly remember my mom would say things like this, Reed, I think you need to go upstairs and have a little quiet time because of what you just did to your brother. Or she would say, hey, Reed, don't you think you might need to go upstairs and you need to have a little quiet time based on what you just said to me? And then I'm going to send your father upstairs when he gets home, and quiet time, it's going to turn to crying time. You know what I mean? Like, as a quiet time, right, in my house growing up was a punishment. And so here these guys going like, how was your quiet time this week? And I was like, oh God, I knew I joined a cult. You know what I mean? Like, no! And so now I hear, I'm like, this is so weird, right? And I think that, thankfully, Jeffrey, he looked over at me, and I think he could see the confusion on my face. Like, I was like, what? And so he didn't start with me. He went the other way around the circle, you know, so I got to go last. And as other people in the group began to share, I realized that quiet time was not, it wasn't some kind of punishment that Christians like put on themselves or something like that. Like I realized that quiet time was just like Christian code, like Christianese for reading your Bible and praying, right? And I was like, oh, that's not nearly as weird as I thought it was gonna be, thank God, you know? Like, and so people started to share, and finally it got to my turn, and I just confessed to the group. I was like, hey, you know, I've never really had a quiet time. I don't do that. But I've gotten a Bible, and I've been reading my Bible, and actually was really enjoying reading my Bible. It was the first time, you know, I'm like 20 years old, and here I am reading my Bible for the very first time. And I was like, oh, this is really interesting. I'm reading in the Gospel of John. I'm learning about the life of Jesus. So I said, hey, I'm reading my Bible, and I actually really enjoy it. I read it at night before I go to bed, and I do it like in my room so my roommates don't see me and think that I'm crazy. And so I'm like, but I read my Bible. And I said, but the whole prayer thing, I was like, I'll be honest, I'm not sure where I'm at with that. I was like, I don't really totally understand it, right? I told this group and my leader at the time, I was like, you know, I don't really totally feel comfortable with prayer. Like how am I supposed to start? Like, is there like a word or a phrase that's like code word for like it has begun? And then like if I say amen, like does that mean that it got counted? Or like if I don't say amen, does that one not count? I was like, you know, like when I'm talking, like is it just sort of like asking for things? Like is it just like a spiritual like Christmas list? Like is it kind of like when I would go to the mall and sit on Santa's lap and just kind of tell him the stuff that I want? Like, do I have to close my eyes when I pray? What do I do with my hands? You know, like, I was like, I don't know. I was like, what do I do with my hands? I'm like, I don't really know what this whole prayer thing is. And do I have to pray out loud? Because I really don't want my roommates to think that I'm crazy. I'm like, but if I pray silently, what's the difference in praying and just thinking? And so I was really wrestling with some of this stuff. I don't really pray. I've tried it a couple times. For me, I was like, I'm not really getting anything out of this. Don't totally understand what this is all about. And maybe you felt that way before. Maybe some of you, that is how you feel about prayer. I recognize in a room this size, there are some of you and you pray every single day. And then there are some of you and you know, you feel like you ought to pray more, but you don't because it feels uncomfortable or it feels awkward or maybe you don't feel worthy or you're not sure where to start. And so you just kind of wait until moments are difficult or desperate and then that's when you pray. There are some of us in here and when we pray, it's just like, okay, like I only kind of do it in religious settings. There are some of you and when you pray, right? Like you would say like, hey, it's only the last ditch effort kind of prayers. And there are some of you in here and you're like, hey, I don't know about the whole prayer thing at all. I'm a little skeptic and I've never really tried. And so maybe you've felt kind of some of those same things that I felt when it came to prayer. And that day, Jeffrey, he was so kind. He didn't look at me like I was crazy. And he didn't look at me like I was weird. He said, hey, thank you so much for sharing. I understand that prayer can seem complicated. It can seem intimidating. Rita, just want to encourage you. Don't overthink it. He said, why don't you try it again this week? It's simply talking to God. And so I did. I went home, and that week I tried it again, and I hated it. You know what I mean? Like I still just didn't connect. I still didn't really understand it. I still wasn't quite sure what to say, but I kept showing up to that small group, and as I read some of the teachings of Jesus about prayer, and I began to listen to how other people prayed, it helped me to understand prayer a little bit more and to appreciate it. And then I began to actually practice it to the point now where prayer is an important part of my own spiritual walk. But it didn't start there. Now, I mention all of that to you today because we're jumping back into a series of teachings that we're calling Things Christians Do and Why. And when I say jumping back into, let me just catch those of you that are kind of new around here up to speed. About a year or so ago, we did a series of teachings called Things Christians Do and Why. And we discussed some of the things that we do here in church settings or as Christians that maybe you've done it, but you never really thought about why we do it, or maybe you've never even understood why we do it. You never had anybody explain it to you. We talked about things like, why do we sing in church, right? What is the deal? Why do Christians love karaoke? You know what I mean? Like what's the deal with that? And so we talked about why do we sing in church? We talked about what's the deal with communion? Why do we do that? Why do some people do it every week? Why do some people do it once a month? Why do some people do it once a year? Like, what's the deal with communion? What's that all about? And then we talked about baptism. Like, hey, what's going on with baptism? And help me understand that. Why does one grown person push another grown person underwater and now they're in the club? You know what I mean? Like, and so what's going on with baptism? And so we talked about some of these things. Some things that, like, out of context can seem awkward or weird or strange. And then we talked about why we do them and maybe even encourage some of you to take a step and to try. And so that's what we're jumping back into today. We're going to talk about some more of those things that Christians do, and we're going to talk about why we do them. And it's my hope that in this series, you'll hear something and it will encourage you to take a step and at least give it a try. And so today, though, we're going to talk about, obviously, like I teased it up for you. Today, we're going to talk about prayer. Yeah. Okay. Nobody got it. So I thought I teed it up for you. Today we're gonna talk about prayer, the practice of prayer. Now, right off the bat, I gotta just admit, right, like that prayer is not a uniquely Christian thing, right? It's not unique to Christianity. We don't have the corner on the market on it. As a matter of fact, like every faith pretty much that's ever existed, every kind of major religion or faith practice involves some form of prayer. In fact, nowadays, even people that would say that they're not spiritual or religious are actually incorporating into their daily routines and into their lives some form, some method of prayer or meditation, because modern science has actually even seen and proven that those that practice a prayer rhythm or a rhythm of meditation actually experience health benefits. It's good for your physical and mental health. That people who practice times of prayer, regular and routine times of prayer or meditation, that those people actually experience reduced stress, reduced anxiety, they have lower blood pressure, and they actually experience increased levels of peace and joy and hope. And who doesn't want that? Especially nowadays, you guys. And so, religious or not, right? Like this practice of prayer is kind of in a lot of different ways in being put into practice in people's lives. And so certainly prayer is not a Christian, uniquely Christian thing, but the way that Jesus taught and modeled prayer is unique. And so while Christian, you know, prayer is not a uniquely Christian thing, the way that Jesus taught and modeled it was unique. In fact, one of the only things, you guys, that Jesus's closest friends and followers, one of the only things that the original disciples ever asked Jesus explicitly to teach them, as a matter of fact, it's the only thing that they ever asked Jesus explicitly to teach them, was how to pray. Which is wild when you think about it, because these guys saw Jesus do a lot of things, right? They saw Jesus heal the sick. They saw him raise the dead. They saw him walk on water and turn water into wine. They saw Jesus cast out demons and walk and calm storms. They saw Jesus feed thousands of people with a kid's Happy Meal. It wasn't a Happy Meal. It was a Chick-fil-A. You know what I mean? Like, but like, They saw Jesus like do some incredible things. They saw him gather crowds of thousands and teach and preach and tell stories that we still tell today, 2,000 years later, right? And all of that stuff, though, that they saw, of all those things that they saw Jesus do, the only thing they ever explicitly ask, and you can go read it for yourself, Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, these are the biographical accounts of the life of Jesus. The only question you're going to see them ask Jesus explicitly to teach them how to do is they say, Lord, teach us to pray. There was something unique. There was something powerful. There was something different about Jesus's perspective and approach to prayer that when they saw it, they went, that, I want to learn that. And what's interesting is that most of Jesus's earliest followers were good Jewish boys. And so they kind of knew, they'd been taught from an early age about prayer and how to pray and what prayer was. They'd participated in prayer. And so prayer was something that was familiar to them. This was not foreign to them. Jesus did not introduce them to prayer, but there was something about his prayer life that didn't look like theirs. And so they said that we need to learn that. So today, whether you would call yourself a prayer warrior, somebody who's a veteran in prayer, or you would say that you're new to, or maybe even skeptical about prayer, I just want to encourage you to lean in, and we're going to look at what Jesus has to say about prayer. And Jesus is going to comment, and he's going to show us what prayer is. He's going to show us why we ought to pray. And he actually, in his teaching, shows us how we can approach prayer. So this morning, that's what we're going to do. We're going to take a look at the words of Jesus, and he's going to show us what prayer is and what it's not. He's going to show us how to pray and why we ought to pray. And so I want to show you this morning what Jesus had to say when these guys asked him, okay, teach us to pray. This is what he says. This is Matthew chapter 6, and Jesus says, and when you pray, do not be like the hypocrites, for they love to pray standing in the synagogues and on the street corners to be seen by others. Truly, I tell you, they have received their reward in full. So right off the bat, Jesus is assuming that at some point in some way, all of us will attempt to pray, right? He says, when you pray, whenever that time comes, at some point in some way, right, we all attempt to pray. And maybe, you know, maybe it's not like in the formal way, and maybe it's not to God. Maybe it's just like, hey, universe, anybody out there, like, help, you know. You could think of times where you've gotten desperate, right? You were, you stepped in to take that test and you hadn't studied, and you're like, if there's a God in heaven, you know what I mean? Like, you're like, could you help me? Or maybe it was the time where you're running late for curfew, you know, you're gonna get home late, and your parents, you're like, God, universe, person, someone, anyone, please knock them out and let them be asleep. You know what I mean? Like, or maybe it was the time you're desperate to get this job. You know, there's other qualified candidates, and you're just going, you're trying to manifest your way into this. You're going like, please, you know. Or maybe it's a time where you're desperate to save your marriage. You are desperate to save the relationship. And you're going, I don't know if anybody's listening, but I don't know what else to do. And it's not a formal thing. And there was no amen at the end, but you're just crying out. Maybe it was a time that you or someone that you love got a difficult diagnosis, and you're just crying out to whoever would listen. I don't know when you pray, or where you pray, or how you pray. But Jesus assumes that all of us, when life gets difficult, and if you get desperate enough, we all at some point make some attempt at prayer. And so he says, when you pray, whenever that is, however that is, right? Jesus assumes that we're all gonna pray in some way, on some day, we're all gonna attempt to pray. And so he wants us to know what we ought to think about prayer and how we ought to approach it. And so he's gonna teach us what prayer is and what prayer isn't. And he says, so when you pray, he says, don't be like the hypocrites. When he says the hypocrites, he's specifically talking about the religious people in his day. And he's going to point out their struggle with prayer, which a lot of us may not relate to, but he's teaching us something important about what prayer is and isn't. He says, don't be like the hypocrites, the religious leaders of the day, for they love to pray standing in the synagogues and on the street corners to be seen by others, right? So these guys, they were such good prayers that they wanted everyone to hear their prayers, which you guys, I don't think in all of my years I have ever heard anybody come to my office and go, I'm so good at prayer, I need to stand up this next week and pray. You know what I mean? Like, I don't think I've ever heard anybody that proud of their prayers, but these guys, that was their struggle is they wanted other people to see how spiritual they were. Now, like I said, I don't think that that's most of our struggles when it comes to prayer. It's not that we're so good at it that we want other people to see it and to be impressed by us. Although I will confess that there are times where I feel the struggle or the pressure to impress people when it comes to prayer. I don't know if you've ever been in a small group setting and someone asked you to pray out loud. It's like, dun, dun, dun. And it's your week. And last week, though, the guy that always prays, that's like really good at prayer, you know the one. You know. God in heaven, would you rain down the fires of your love? And would you bring forth your mercy and your grace? And you're like, no, I'm not following that guy. You know what I mean? Like, but they asked you to pray. And now this week, you're like, all right. It's got to be a good one. You know what I mean? And you finish your prayer and you say amen and you're just hoping, like, you're looking around. Did they think that was, am I spiritual? Was that good? Did that pass the test? I'll let that guy do it next week. You know what I mean? Like, but maybe you've felt that pressure, the pressure to perform or to seem more spiritual than you are. That's really what Jesus is getting at. That's really what Jesus is getting at. He's like, when you pray, he's like, it's not a performance. It's not to impress anybody. He's like, and if you feel that pressure, he's like, get rid of that. Get rid of that. Prayer is not a spiritual show. And for the people that approach it that way, he says, you've already got your reward. If for you, prayer is a spiritual show, if it's trying to impress anybody, he's like, then you've got your reward. And your reward was the attention of other people. He's like, it's not a spiritual show. You're not putting on for anyone. He says, instead, look what he's going to teach us about prayer. He says, instead, when you pray, he says, go into your room, close the door, and pray to your Father who's unseen. And then your Father who sees what's done in secret will reward you. Want that? He says, look, prayer's not a spiritual show. You don't have to have pretty words, some scripted outline, right? God isn't impressed with pretty prayers from fake people. It's not what he's impressed by. He's like, that's not what prayer is. And Jesus does something here that, you guys, it's lost on us because for a lot of us, if you've grown up in church or you've been to church before, this is something that's pretty normal to us, but it wasn't normal to them. He addresses God as Father. He addresses God as Father. And the scandal of this is lost on us because that's been kind of normalized in American churches to be able to call God that. And yet in that moment, right, the people that were listening, nobody had ever thought to approach God that way or to talk to God like that. It's so intimate, it's so personal, it's so relational, not transactional. And that's what Jesus is teaching us about prayer. See, when it comes to prayer, it's not a spiritual performance. It's relational. It's primarily relational, not transactional. You see, what Jesus is teaching us about prayer is that prayer, first and foremost, is a means of personal connection and communication with God, your Father, your perfect Father in heaven. That's what prayer is. It's primarily relational. It's a means of personal connection and communication with God. It's not a spiritual performance. It's not a show. It's not to impress anybody and to show them how spiritual you are. He's like, it's to connect with and communicate with God. And so Jesus says, get away when it comes to your time to pray. Like, get away, get to a place where you can be distraction free and you can connect with and communicate with God. Right? So maybe for you, that's, you know, maybe for you, that's your bedroom. Maybe for you, it's the closet in your bedroom. Maybe for you, you're like, my mom would, she has this green chair. She used to have this green chair and it was like her prayer chair, you know, like it rhymes. It's amazing. And so, but she had the prayer chair. You know, maybe for you, it's that in your office. Maybe for you, it's in the shower. Maybe for you, it's in your car. Maybe if you have a child under the age of 5, it's in the bathroom with the door locked. You know what I mean? You got about 8 minutes before you see the little fingers like, ah, you know? But Jesus says, hey, prayer is primarily relational, not transactional. And it's a way that you communicate with and connect with God. So he says, get away somewhere where you can be distraction free and you can actually connect with and communicate with God. And he says, there's a reward for that as well. He says this, he says, your Father will see what's done and he'll reward you. You know, for those that treat it like a spiritual performance, their reward is that other people are impressed and see them. For those of us that understand that prayer is primarily relational and we take the time to connect with God, he says there's a reward for that as well. And that is not that other people will see you, but that God will. God will see you. God will hear your prayers. God will connect with you. And that is the reward. That is the reward. You will get to connect with and communicate with God and your relationship will grow because you guys know this, the strength of any relationship walks hand in hand with the strength of the communication, doesn't it? The strength of any relationship walks hand in hand with the strength of the communication in that relationship. And so Jesus says, you'll reap the reward of a stronger connection with God. He will see you, he will hear you, he will walk with you, and you will reap the benefit of a stronger relationship with him. And along with that comes peace. Along with that comes hope. Along with that comes joy. He says, that's what you'll be rewarded. Now, Jesus is going to go on because he's going to point out another misconception about prayer and remind us what it is. He says, and also when you pray, he says, don't keep on babbling like pagans, for they think that they will be heard because of their many words. He says, do not be like them, for your Father knows what you need before you ask him. Jesus says, hey, prayer is not a spiritual like show for anybody else to see. It's not a means of impressing anybody with how spiritual you are. He says, it's also not a means though. It's not a spiritual means of bargaining with God. He's like, it's not some like spiritual bargaining tool where you got to like barter with God. Like, you know, those moments where you've been like, you know, God, I promise. If you do this, I will stop. You know what I mean? Like, or, and you can fill in the blank, you know, I wasn't going to be too offensive. And so like, or you're like, or that God, I promise, like, if you do this for me, I will show up at church every Sunday. I swear. You know what I mean? Like, and you're bargaining with God, trying to like, okay, if I could just give him enough of what he wants from me, then maybe he'll do what I want from him. Jesus is going, it's not like that. That's what the pagans were doing. They would go on, and many of them, they would cut themselves, or they would make sacrifices, or they would offer burnt offerings, and they would go on, thinking, if I could just do enough, if I could just be convincing enough, if I could just say the right words in the right way, then maybe I could deposit enough spiritual currency into this conversation in order to coerce or to convince or control God to get him to do what I want. And Jesus goes, that's not how prayer works, and that's not what God is like. He is not your spiritual Santa Claus that you can convince or coerce or try to control with your many words. That's not what prayer is about. You guys, when that is our perspective on prayer, which I will confess that has been mine before in the past, and that might be one of yours, your perspective on prayer and the way you've treated prayer in the past. When that is your perspective on prayer, you reduce God to some kind of like cosmic genie or some universal vending machine or some kind of spiritual Santa Claus who's just there to give you what you want. And then, you guys, then we reduce prayer to some kind of like Christmas list. Man, Jesus is going, that's not how this works. That's not what God is like. Remember, prayer is primarily relational, not transactional. It's primarily relational, not transactional. This is what was so different about Jesus's prayer life, is he wasn't just asking for stuff. So he says, don't be like that. Don't try to beg or bargain or coerce or convince God to do something for you. He says, no, he says, your Father is not like that. He's better than that. You have a perfect heavenly Father. And he says, and he knows what you need before you even ask him. He already knows what you need. You don't have to beg him. You don't have to bargain. You don't have to convince him or coerce him. He knows exactly what you need. To which some of us go, well, then why am I praying if he already knows? It's a good question. You know, my kids, their teachers, they email my wife and I every day, just kind of a, you know, update on what they did. It's not just us. I'm not special. They do that probably for you too. You probably get that email as well. That's not a pastor perk, right? But they email us and they let us know about what happened in the day. And sometimes they'll even send some pictures. Hey, this is what we were working on. And they'll talk about kind of upcoming projects and things so that when my kids get home, by the time my kids get home, you guys, I already know what happened in their day. I already know. They don't have to tell me anything. I know what they learned. I know what they talked about. I know what lessons they did. I even saw pictures. Look at you. You're working so hard and you partnered with that kid. That's amazing. I already know. But do you know what I do when my kids get off the bus and I get home from work? You know, the first thing that I ask, how was your day? Do you know why? It's not because I need to be informed. It's because I want to connect with my kids. I want to know. I want to know what's going on in their life. I want to hear from them. I want to hear what frustrated them. I want to hear what bothered them. I want to hear what excited them. I want to hear what they're passionate about. I also want to hear what they're struggling with. I want to hear from them. I want to connect with my kids. I don't ask them because I need to be informed. I ask them because I want to connect and our relationship to grow. And you guys, Jesus is saying, that's what your Father is like. When it comes to your needs, you don't have to bargain and beg. He knows what you need. He's informed. He's aware. He knows. But he still wants to connect with you. Because prayer is primarily, you guys, relational, not transactional. So Jesus says, you don't have to be like that. You don't have to do those things. It's not a spiritual show, and it's not a spiritual bargaining tool. He's like, prayer is primarily relational. It's a means by which we connect with and communicate with God, our Father in heaven, who loves us and knows what we need. Now Jesus is gonna, he's told us what prayer is, a relational tool to connect with and communicate with God. He's told us why we should pray in order to deepen and strengthen our relationship with God, right? Like that's what Jesus is teaching us about prayer. And now he's gonna show us how to pray. He's gonna show us how he approaches prayer. And so he's gonna start, this then is how you should pray. And he's about to give us, and you all, you've even if you have never been to church, you've heard a version of this prayer. If you played high school sports growing up, you prayed this prayer in a locker room before a game, right? He's about to teach these guys the what we call the Lord's Prayer. Or the Our Father. And so he's gonna teach them, and I just wanna point out that when Jesus is teaching this, he's gonna teach them how to pray. He's not giving us a formula, and he's not giving us a script. It's okay if you wanna read this prayer or if you wanna recite this prayer from time to time, but what Jesus was giving them was not a formula or a script. He's giving them a model. He's giving them a model for how they can talk to God. And so, you know, what I've done is, hey, we'll go through this kind of quickly here just to show you, but Jesus is going to show you a way that you can pray, but it's not specifically that you need to read this prayer. And so I've kind of broken it up into four buckets, and these you can customize and you can make them your own. But Jesus is going to say, hey, if you want to experience the benefits and the rewards of this relational building tool, this thing called prayer, if you want to deepen your relationship with God and you want to connect with your creator who loves you and knows what you need, and you want to experience all the joys and the benefits of that, He's like, let me show you a way that you can approach prayer. And so this is what he says. This is how you should pray. He says, our Father, again, there's that word, our Father in heaven, he says, hallowed, which just means holy or revered or high above, right? Like he's going, he's making a big deal about who he's talking to. And so he says, Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. He says, your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. And Jesus begins right here. He says, hey, when it comes to prayer, if prayer is primarily relational and not transactional, he says, then you shouldn't always start by asking for stuff. He's like, a great place to start if you're going to get the most out of prayer and if you want to begin to pray like Jesus, He's like a good place to start is just by acknowledging who you're talking to. And take some time to praise. Give thanks. And before you start giving God all the things that you'd like for him to do to build your little kingdom, he's like, come to God and submit and go, God, actually, before I ask you for anything that I want, I just want to confess right now, I want what you want. And so he says, just begin there. He says, if it's primarily relational, you guys know this, relationships where the other person just always asks you for things, it's not a very strong relationship. So he says, resist the urge to just ask God for stuff. He says, first, take some time to praise. Give thanks. Recognize who God is. Submit and get on terms with him. He says, that's a great place to start if you want to pray like Jesus. He's like, praise. Recognize, acknowledge who you're talking to. He keeps going. He says, give us today our daily bread. Now, this is the part we're all familiar with, right? The give us God section, right? And so he says, hey, you know, you start with praise and acknowledging and gratitude. He's like, start right there. I mean, I'll be honest with you. The longer I commit to the Jesus way of prayer, sometimes my prayers never make it past the praise section. I didn't even ask for anything. But Jesus says, you can ask. God invites you to ask, which is amazing. And so he says, give us today our daily bread. It was a callback to when God had led the Israelites out of slavery in Egypt and he provided for them. And so this give us today our daily bread is just a recognition that whether you have a little or a lot, your provision comes from God. But it's also an invitation to ask. And so Jesus says, you can ask God for stuff. It's okay. But if this is relational, don't start there. And so he says, you know, ask God for things. So ask for provision. You start with praise and then you can move on to provision. And then he goes on and he says, and forgive us. Forgive us for our debts as we also have forgiven our debtors. So he says, begin with praise and you can ask God for provision. And then he says, when it comes to prayer, you should also practice though some personal reflection. This is a great thing to add to your prayer life. Rather than just asking God to do things, he's like, take some time to reflect personally about the areas where you've failed and fallen short. Take some time to reflect on areas where you know you've slipped up and where you know you need forgiveness and where you know you need God's grace. And he's like, take some time and just confess that. We're gonna talk a little bit more about that next week, this idea of confession. But he says, hey, you know, if you want to pray like Jesus, if you want to experience the benefits and the value of prayer, he's like, then add some personal reflection to your prayer time. And ask God for his pardon in your life. And then ask God to help you. What's interesting is the more you see your need for God, the more you're able to love others. The more you see your own need for grace, the more you're able to give grace. And so take some time reflecting personally on your own need for grace and then ask God to help you to give that same grace to other people. So praise, provision, pardon, and personal reflection. And then he ends the prayer and he says, and lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from the evil one. And so now he's asking, he says, then don't just ask God for forgiveness from yesterday's sin, but ask God to lead you so that you can avoid tomorrow's. And so he says, ask God to lead you. Ask God to give you wisdom. Ask God to guide you. Ask God to direct and protect you, to keep you from the conversations that slip into gossip or talking bad about people. He says, like ask God to lead you away from the things where you're tempted to linger too long at looking, whether it's on social media or online or out in life. He's like, ask God to lead you away from things that are tempting, away from things that are gonna ultimately dishonor him and ultimately hurt you and hurt others. He's like, ask God for his protection and his direction. This is a great way to pray. Praise, provision, pardon, protection. Those are four buckets you can use in your prayer life. And there are some of you, and like I said, some of you, you pray every single day. But if you're being honest, most of your prayers just live here. And a great way to breathe new life and to grow in the area of prayer and to strengthen your relationship with God would be, maybe you're gonna start this week here and then move down the list and fill those buckets. For some of you, you've never prayed before and it's because you're like, I don't even know how to start. I don't have a model. Is there some kind of, you know, some buckets? Like, I would encourage you maybe this week, give this a try. Give this a try. And it may be awkward and it may be uncomfortable and it may feel weird at first and you may feel like, man, I just feel like I'm talking to myself. But give this a try this week. And it doesn't have to take super long. You don't have to go home and build a prayer closet and light candles and levitate for an hour. Like, I'm not saying that. I'm saying, listen, this is a simple approach to a relational tool that Jesus invites us to experience with our Father in heaven. That's what prayer is. Prayer is about relational connection with God. And it does not promise, and Jesus does not promise, that if you do these things, you're gonna get everything that you want and that everything's gonna go your way. What he promises is that you'll connect with God and you'll become more like Jesus. That's the goal of prayer. And so what that might look like this week is you may just take some time, a few minutes in the morning, you find a place where you can get away from some distractions. Like I said, maybe it's in the shower, maybe it's in the closet, maybe it's right next to your bed, maybe it's in the bathroom with the door locked or on your drive to work, and you're just gonna take some time and you're gonna start with praise and you'll say, thank you, God. Thank you for my family. Thank you for life. Thank you for breath. Thank you for the health that I enjoy today. Thank you for the way that you care about me. Thank you that you hear my prayers. Thank you that you're there. And then you'll ask God to provide. God, I got a big meeting coming up. Would you be with me? I really need it to go well. God, my kid's been struggling in school. Would you help him? God, my oldest is away at school. Would you help him to meet good friends? Would you help him get plugged in at church? God, would you remind them that their parents love them? Pardon, God, I'm sorry for the way that I treated my spouse the other day. I brought home some stuff from work and the way I talked to her was not loving or kind. God, would you forgive me? Would you help me to forgive her when she does the same? And then, God, would you protect me? Would you lead me not into places of temptation? Help me to walk in your ways. Help me to experience your will. In Jesus' name, amen. 5 minutes. And I'm just telling you guys, this practice, it may not change all your situation, but it will change you. And you will experience God, and you will connect with your Father in heaven, and you will become more like Jesus in the process. And that, you guys, according to Jesus, is the goal of prayer. It's primarily relational, not transactional. It's my hope this week that you'll give this a try, and no matter where you're at spiritually, that you'll give this a try, and that you'll begin to experience the power of the Jesus way to pray. Let me pray for us. Heavenly Father, thank you so much. Thank you for today. Thank you for loving us, waking us up, giving us this opportunity to learn more about prayer. God, we confess that sometimes we don't really know what to say or how to go about it. And so thank you for giving us a model and an example. And thank you for reminding us that primarily prayer is a way to connect with you and communicate with you. It's relational, not transactional. It's not about just getting stuff that we want, but it's about growing to know you more and becoming more like Jesus. And so I pray that wherever we're at in the room, wherever this meets us, wherever this finds us, I pray that you would help us to take something from today and put it into practice in our lives. And as we do, I pray that people people leave here today and that they would encounter you, that they would have real experiences with you, that they would deepen their relationship with you, and that ultimately that we would all become more like Jesus. That's what the world needs, is more people more like Jesus. We love you, we thank you, and we pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen.